Welcome to the Heart of Summer. I'm your host, Francis Lamb, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, Sweltering Sun and Disgusting Humidity. Look, I've never really been a summer person. It's something I basically had to make peace with and try to make the most of, which mostly means embracing salads and grilling as a lifestyle. Which brings us to today's show. We're checking in with some of our favorite cooks on what they're making this summer. It's like an all-star cookout with folks like Bon Appetit's Andy Baragani, The Washington Post's Mara Judkiss, Lon Lamb from America's Test Kitchen has dessert covered, and Sheila Prakash from The Kitchen is mixing the drinks. And we're going to get started with best-selling author Alison Roman. If you are a home cook who has spent any kind of time on the internet, chances are you've made one of her recipes. Maybe it's her salted chocolate chip shortbreads, aka the cookie, or her chickpea and spinach stew, aka the stew. Like so many of her recipes go viral, she is like a recipe disease factory, but in a good way, in a good way. And the thing is, as delicious as her food is, her recipes are always designed with maximum chill. Always fewer steps than you think, always super non-fussy, and her slogan is, I will never ask you to dirty another dish unless absolutely necessary. So naturally, we wanted to check in with her to see what she's cooking this summer. Hey, Alison Roman.
Hi, Francis Lamb.
I am so happy to be here with you, and it's getting a little schwitzy out there.
Yeah,
but
it's steamy.
I'm thinking it's a good thing, because it means summer cooking.
That's right.
What do you like to cook this summer?
You know, I sort of have a policy where I try to spend as little time in the actual kitchen as possible in the summertime. So I'm a big fan of grilling. And the problem is that I don't own a grill because I don't have outdoor space. I've been told that I can't legally place a mini Weber grill on my fire escape. So I don't do that.
Never done it.
Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't admit it on the radio if I did.
Why would you?
But I'm like a big fan of sort of prep in the kitchen and cook literally anywhere else. And that can mean grilling or eating a lot of no cook things. So I'm sort of I will bring a cutting board to the park is like how seriously I take this. And I mean it when I say get out of my kitchen. I don't have AC in there and it gets just too hot. So it's mostly some combination of a grilled meat, a grilled or raw vegetable, and then something in which to eat it. And that can be a bun or a tortilla or flatbreads or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Do we want to go for the grill first or do you want to go for the vegetables first?
That is up to you. This is your rodeo. I'm just here. I'm just visiting.
Okay, let's wrassle up some animals. Let's wrassle up some animals, and we're gonna put them on the grill.
Yeah.
What did you just catch?
I probably am grilling something like boneless short ribs, hanger steak, chicken thighs, but probably I'm like a red meat griller. I love something that I can cook really hot and really fast and have it be very rare inside. That's sort of my dream. I feel like that type of meat and eating goes really well with anything. And it's sort of the time of year where you can buy those tougher cuts of beef that are really meant to be cooked really briefly over the grill, like super hot, get them charred, and then sliced super thin. So flank steak, things like that. But also, I'm a big fan of those cuts that are typically reserved for braising. So I like to take pork shoulder and cut those into steaks about, an inch thick, let's say, on the thick side and, you know, a half inch thick on the thin side.
Mm-hmm.
And I can marinate them at home and then grill them outside or just season them with salt and pepper. But those types of really fatty cuts that we typically only think of for winter braising, I love cooking on the grill and eating rare and with like lots of lime and herbs and things like that.
They're so interesting.
Yeah, they're so good. And I feel like that's something that I picked up like anytime I go to Korean barbecue or something like that, where they bring you those really fatty cuts and they're just sliced thinly, but they have better flavor and more fat. And that's all I'm really interested in.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because like our thing, we're like, oh, these are braising cuts. Like literally people will refer to them as braising cuts. But
right.
You can totally grill them if you mitigate the toughness just by slicing it thin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like that's all you had to do.
Yeah. So those right now I'm really crushing on the boneless short rib and the pork shoulder as hot and fast grilling types of meat.
Mm.
I also love hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Luckily, we just had a 20-minute conversation about hot dogs. So you're going to have to listen to this podcast.
Well, it looks like I'm going to because I'm a huge hot dog enthusiast.
And what goes next to them?
Any vegetable that I can find. I pretty much will always do something like scallions or spring onions because I like to eat those just kind of as is, but they're also great chopped up and mixed in with some olive oil and herbs, like almost like a salsa verde.
Like a super easy salsa. Like
Yeah, literally just like an oily, limey scallion, charred scallion sauce.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and they cook super quickly. And then sort of anything else, I have a few vegetarian friends, and it's like if they see one more portobello mushroom, they're going to kill me. So I've sort of pivoted to a bit more interesting vegetables like eggplants and other squashes that typically kind of don't see a ton of play on the grill, but are really great. Radishes, kind of any – if it's a vegetable, I'm going to try to grill it. Grilled carrots, let me just say, are such a delight.
They're legit,
and they're so easy and quick to grill. But they, you know, there's something that happens to a carrot on the grill where the sugars caramelize and they get really, really blackened and the insides get tender that just cannot happen in the oven. And typically I'm like a equal opportunist and I'm like, you can roast it or grill it. Both are great. But with a grilled carrot is truly transcendent and probably something that nobody or fewer people probably think to put on the grill.
Yeah, because I think you think it's thick, it's hard, it's going to take a long time to cook.
Yeah, I think you just think, you're either going to crudité it or you're going to roast it. And I think people don't really think of a carrot as like a summer vegetable. But if you go to a farmer's market in the dead of summer, I swear it's like 80% carrots. It's like, that's all they have. They must be very easy to grow. I don't know. It's just, it's a carrot festival.
I love how like... I don't know. Like, I think there's a sense of like Alison Roman, like her recipes are like really fresh. They're really like a lot of them really like, produce oriented. Like she must know her farmers like the back of her hand. She knows everything about. She's like, I don't know. Maybe carrots are easy to grow.
I don't know. How hard is it to grow a carrot? Never asked. I don't know. I'm assuming not that hard. Okay. But
so salad-y things.
Yeah, I am a big salad person. I'm not really a salad for dinner person unless there is, you know, a protein associated with it. I feel like, you know, a fridge clean out salad is a bit different of a story. But if I'm going for it and making a composed salad, I want it to feel like essentially a meal. Mm-hmm. And for me, that means that I'm probably putting like potatoes in my salad or shrimp or chicken or soft jammy eggs and tons of herbs and something crunchy. And I've got a few jars of like crushed nuts with spices or salted toasted nuts that I keep in the freezer that I use sort of as crouton. I joke that crunch is my favorite flavor, even though it's obviously not a flavor. But I'm a huge texture person and my salad has to be, you know, ridiculously crunchy.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Someone on Twitter the other day was saying like, oh, like I really want to make more salads at home. Can someone tell me a good dressing? And I didn't want to be that guy, but I was kind of like, I don't think it's about the dressing.
It's not about the dressing.
And I think it's having crunchy things.
Yeah. And here's also a secret. I never make dressings. There's like one dressing I'll make and that involves tahini because you can't just drizzle tahini on something. You kind of need to transform it. I feel like that's another thing is I'm not a creamy dressing person. If I were to make a dressing, it wouldn't be creamy unless it's tahini. But I, when I dress salads, I do, you know, I'll get everything in the bowl and then I'll just assault it with a ridiculous amount of lemon. That's probably my number one choice of acid in a salad. And then I season it with salt and pepper and then I taste it. And then I think, okay, does it need more salt? Does it need more lemon? And once it's exactly where I want it to be, which is like borderline too acidic and like maybe too salty, that's when I drizzle it with olive oil. And within the salad, I'll, you know, have some thinly sliced shallot or scallion or grated garlic or something. So I sort of take the components of what one would do for a vinaigrette or a dressing and I just apply them individually to the salad. I feel like each thing gets seasoned a lot more intensely and a lot more intentionally when you leave the fat out and use that to finish it.
Oh, interesting. And let's talk about sweet things.
Sweet things.
Because you started this life as a pastry chef, yeah?
I did, yeah. This crazy life. I did start as a pastry chef, yeah. Well, and in my defense, it was because it was the only job open they had in the restaurant I wanted to work at. Mm. So I went in and I said, I want to work in a restaurant. I want to be a chef. And they said, well, unfortunately, we only have one position open and it's in our pastry department. And I said, I'll take it. So that's how I became a pastry chef. Up. It was the only thing available.
But in the summer... Especially if you're home, you know, people are thinking, well, how do you make sweet things without baking if you're avoiding your oven entirely?
Yeah, you know, you don't. And that's why I always thought it was funny that the middle of summer is pie season because your oven's on for like 2 hours, essentially. But I also have to remember that most people, I'm assuming, have central AC. Like, they're not sweating to the oldies in my fourth floor walk up with me. So for me personally, do I want to be baking? No, but that has probably more to do with my lack of airflow in my kitchen than anything else. So it's tough. I think, you know, years of working in the editorial world, that was sort of always the question, like, are people turning their ovens on in the summer? And the answer is absolutely they are.
Yeah.
Because most people have AC.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't actually matter when it's always 71 degrees.
It's only you fools who all live in New York
exactly.
and have these like janky apartments.
Nobody's using their oven. It's like, well, actually, most people are. We're not because we're insane because we live here.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of really great frozen type things that are easy to do. I'm not the kind of person that's going to own like a popsicle mold just because I own too many things and I simply cannot own another thing in my kitchen, especially. So, but that's the type of thing where if you have a blender, you can like puree up some fruit and add some sugar to taste and freeze it. And I'm sure it would be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the life that I'm living.
Sure.
But if that's the life you're living, I want to come
live
over
it.
And have some of those popsicles.
Live it to the max.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Allison. Invite me to a barbecue, please.
I would absolutely love that. It would be my honor. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. That was Allison Roman, author of the cookbook Dining In and the soon-to-be-published Nothing Fancy. For her recipe for short ribs with quick kimchi and sesame salt, you go to splendidtable.org. And let me just clarify for her. She does not actually eat her grilled pork shoulder rare, but a thin-cut short rib or flank steak, just char it and go.